Talk of the Terraces is brought to you by Paul Martin Menswear. Discover the perfect outfit for any event in our exclusive range at Unit 5 Greenhall Road, Derry. Telephone number 0871 358 300. It's an international break, which means there's no League of Ireland football, so we thought we'd fill a little bit of that gap with a new Talk of the Terraces. Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening now? My name is Dee Kern. I am joined by Institute attacker Michael Kennedy. And joining us this month is Stephen McClellan. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here on this podcast. And with only 7 points from a possible 18, how would you assess Derry City's start to the season, Michael?
Probably not great, probably considering the hype that was around him, you know, with the signings, with the new manager and stuff. I think everyone was expecting him to start like a house on fire, to be honest. I think that's what we were all sort of expecting, but we can see that it's a new group. It's going to take that time to gel. I think in recent weeks, we've seen the managers, you know, what he's trying to get across. It's starting to work in terms of scoring goals and stuff. They're struggling in that. And, you know, in the early sort of weeks, they haven't really impressed, you know.
Are you quite concerned about the fact that there is a lack of quality in open play?
Definitely a standard round the middle of the field, some great balls, layoffs, boys trapping deep, but it's that final penetrating ball that getting in again. We always comment getting in behind defences. Every team's the same in the League of Ireland, not just Derry City. Other teams are getting those chances. You know, we're just being unlucky in front of goal at times too. That an extra inch, an extra stretch, an extra header instead of a knee roller or something. You know what I mean? We're just not getting that luck. That'll come. You know, they'll average out usually. Well, we kept saying that last year and it never happened, but it just doesn't happen. Hopefully, as I say, Mickey Duffy, because I'll tell you, without his goals this season, God, no. I don't even want to. That's a different debate in itself, I think. He's there and he's looking on form and he's up for it. He's just pissed back down the line. He's cutting down on the left foot and then they're showing him inside and they're right. Maybe just can't keep up, man. But it's good for going forward and there in that perspective.
Saturday night, a much needed victory against Sligo Rovers. It does seem to be a step in the right direction, though, Stephen.
It does, you know, and as a city, the clean sheet maybe was vital for Brian Maher's point of view in the defensively. 3 points at Sligo will take it all day long. Such a ground we've went down to over the years.
Tough place to go. Obviously, the pitch is not great down there, you know, and we all seen that on Saturday night. But I think the most important thing for Derry, and I think this is probably something that Tiernan Lynch is learning, you know, this league, it's not about necessarily playing nice football, it's about winning games. And in this league, you have to win ugly very, very often. You know, when you go to them places, even, you know, going to the likes of Drogheda and stuff, you know, it's not going to be nice games. You're not going to get away with playing nice football, but you have to find a way to win. And Derry done that on Saturday night. It was a low-quality game, you know, and probably a hard watch at times. But it's games like that that won leagues. We've watched Rovers do it for so long. And then Shelburne last year, you know, they go to them places and don't get beat. Tiernan Lynch is probably learning that. You know, he's setting his team up for that. You know, we remember the first game of the season, they went down to Shelburne, all gung-ho. And they see now, you know, going to Sligo, we're a bit more conservative and we can see what he's learned in 6 or so weeks.
You talked about the condition of the pitch on Saturday night. At the moment, are you quite disappointed by the quality of the services coming into the new season?
Yeah, absolutely, because the league is so much more technical now, you know, that it's proper technical football players, not as good in the physicality side of it. They're trying to get the ball down and play, and you're seeing that they're being effective by it. But it's a problem in the North and the South. You know, the football pitches here, they're diabolical, every one of them. Rovers is a decent enough pitch, like, but apart from that, you wonder how we can't have decent pitches in this country. It's quite sad, and especially with the quality of the player coming into the league now, you want to see them on better surfaces.
Tiernan Lynch appears to be placing a lot of emphasis on data. And the press conference ahead of the Galway United game, he has quoted the XG during the St. Pat's game. Post-match, Galway United, he quoted possession, total shots, shots on target, and the XG. Is it all nonsense?
I hate it. I still don't fully understand it. You know, I don't get who actually, as a person, decides how many goals you're going to score or what. But football's an open sport. It's forever changing. No two games are the same. From a footballer's point of view, like, data is something that you can look too heavily on, but it's something that gives you good pointers. I find it much more beneficial in terms of training, you know, looking at your distance covered. But then again, it's all open to interpretation, because a centre midfielder is going to run more than a centre half, you know, right back's going to run more than a centre forward, you know. So I think managers, they can develop too much on it, and it sort of takes away from the tactical side of it. You have to remember, football's a tactical game. It's not about data in this. Go down the other way of sports scientists dictating training sessions, not coaches. There's a fine line there, watching our teams, watching yourself, that's when I find it most beneficial. Most footballers are visual learners. So telling them something, they might not pick it up as well as, but when you show them on the TV, like, this is where I want you, this is what you're doing wrong, they pick it up quicker. In terms of XG and all, I absolutely hate it. I don't get it. Possession stats and all, yes, it's good, but what third do you have the possession in? The possession in your third, you're not doing anything with it. So having 60% possession and not creating chances, I'd be more looking at final third entries, crosses, first contacts and stuff, you know, picking up second balls. That's the most important stats.
I didn't actually know what it was until about 2 years ago. I've heard people chatting about it, but apparently, Mikael, they actually develop it from the historical data from games in the past. The quality of a chance by calculating the probability that a shot will result in a goal based on factors from distance, angle, shot type. You know, that's madness. You know, I'm something. I'm thinking, who, as you say, who made it up? It's a belter. Like, do you need to hear the better one? The penalty chances, they'd already know the possibility that a penalty is going to be 0.76. So 1 in 4 penalties are obviously not.
Is it head-to-head that they're, you know, is it previous head-to-heads or is it your last 5 games or how do they actually, I don't know if you have it in front of you, Stephen.
The historical data, we come back 1928, are we, Miguel?
It's hilarious, you know, but I don't know if it's a wee bit of desperation, you know, coming out to try and mar over performances. You know, I think the managers you sort of hear talking about it, are they covering something else up and they kind of take the pressure away from the player? So I think there's definitely, there's a front to that, like, but, you know, Dave, what's your thoughts on it?
Football's a simple game. Did you score goals? Yes. Did you stop the other team from scoring more goals than you? Yes. Congratulations, you won a match.
Exactly.
6 games, 6 different starting lineups, multiple tactical setups. Do those constant change show tactical flexibility or is it a sign of uncertainty within the team, Mikael?
If they were top of the league, then that's definitely the first point. You can see that they're flexible in that, but there's a wee bit of desperation there. It's showing a manager that doesn't know his best 11. You know, obviously he's been without a few players. You know, like Boyce and stuff had a bit of a niggle there. There was a playing the Friday night and then Pat's on the Monday, I think it was. In terms of the change of shape, you know what I said in this podcast the first time, you know, I don't think they played enough games in pre-season. You know, I don't think he's seen enough and it's almost going under the start of the season. Number one, not knowing your best team, but not knowing your best formation. Players haven't created them bonds. There is a wee bit of desperation there. I think this at the national break is probably welcome for him. You know, get more contact time on the training pitch. They learn a wee bit more about his players because he's learning the group as well. As much as the players are learning each other, he's learning the group as well. It speaks volumes when you have a settled 11, you're sort of 2-3 that you know are going to come on. You have to times force them relationships, you know, and I think that going on after this international break, he has to figure out his best formation and stick with it.
What particular formation or system do you think simply doesn't work for the squad that we have?
I think the 4-3-3, it hasn't really worked because the lack of pace at the back. We've looked more secure when we've went to a 3 there with Conley, you know, just sort of giving him that protection. When they play Boyce up top on his own, because he has such a tendency to drop in, you have no number 9 and you have no one out there and we don't really have the midfielders that are running beyond. So if I playing that 4-3-3, it's not really suiting them. But on the flip side, that, you know, with like Winchester sitting in there on by himself doing a fantastic job, you know, you can get your overloads in wide areas, but we're doing that, but we're not getting anybody in the box. So I definitely prefer them as a 3, but with that 3, you're obviously losing your wingers. But that's when I would like to see probably Mickey Duffy move in one, play alongside Boyce or Hoban, because Mickey's going to go in behind.
He should know his best 11. I'll add to that, is that can you keep all these big names happy with them sitting on the bench? That's my biggest concern at the moment, because I think injuries have dictated to a certain extent where they're actually playing on the field, because they're not all 100% fit. We can see that. It's an awful headache to have as a manager, have them all fit. He's going to have to show leadership, and I mean quick and fast leadership, you know, with a bunch of players they had. You're talking international footballers here, and for them to be told that they're going to sit on the bench of the Brandywell, they're out of form. That's, you just have to say it. You know, you're out of form. It's simple as this.
No, but Stephen, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think you're 100% right. It's keeping them players happy. In the striker department, he's going to have a massive problem because he's got 3 big hitters there, and if he's only playing one up top, that's 2, he's going to be really unhappy. I really fell for Danny Mullen towards the end of last season. He was excellent, almost becoming the go-to man. He's come back, and now I know he's had a niggle. There was games there in that first 6 games where Patton's coming on ahead of him. You know, hoping ain't going to be sitting behind Boyce. The amount of goals he scored, topping and changing strikers is not good for strikers, because you lose your sharpness. You know, it's hard to explain for a striker, but it's having your eye and it's that sharpness around the box. If you're not playing week in, week out, you lose it very quickly. He has to find a way to play with two of them, or he needs to pick one and say, this is my man.
We're going to take a quick break here so we can tell you what's going to come up on Match Night Live after the international break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the possibility of VAR in League of Ireland. Up next for Derry City in the SSE Airtricity League, they travel to Tallaght Stadium to face Shamrock Rovers. With an 8 p.m. kickoff, our coverage will start around about 7:30 with myself, Dee Kern, and Dermot Liddy in the commentary position. Then it's back-to-back home games for Derry City, with Cork City the first visitors on the 4th of April, FAI Cup holders Drogheda United on the 11th of April. Myself, Stephen McClelland, and Eddie Sadak will be your commentators. That's Drive 105 Match Night Live, brought to you by Luxor Bathrooms, Tiles and Design, by the fans, for the fans, on FM, DAB, and online. Welcome to the Talk of the Terraces, our second episode. My name is Dee Kern. I'm joined still by Michael Kennedy and also Stephen McClelland. We are going to address some of the comments that has been made under our social media posts throughout those 6 weeks. But first of all, if you were to decide a player of the month, and I know it's been more than a month since the season started, who would you give it to in Derry City colours?
It's obviously Michael Duffy. You know, he's been the one consistent player. He's the one player that you would have on the team sheet every week. And I said about him a couple of weeks ago when I've been talking to people about him, it's probably the best I've seen him physically. And I'm not saying when he's done dark days or anything that he wasn't at that physical level, but he looks fantastic. He looks as sharp as we've ever seen him. He's excelling. And where would Derry City be without him at the minute? So for me, there's only one player.
He's back to glimpses that we've seen kind of last season as well. Yeah. But remember last season, he done this for a bit and then he kind of drifted out. Not too sure whether he was struggling with fitness then, but he seems to be an extra leanness about him. He seems to have that pace back again, the fitness. You know, he's no injuries as yet. God forbid, mate, stay like that. And we're all giving Michael Duffy rightfully the glory. But I think also Ronan Boyce, and we've always said it, and maybe it's us as fans, we seem to see more of the work that he does sometimes in the managers on the pitch. Sometimes they drop Ronan Boyce. But again, I hope that's not down to keeping players happy.
One player that's shown great resilience since the first game of the season is Sam Todd. After the victory against Bohemians, I went on the Twitter and I simply wrote, Sam Todd will accept your apology now. And I got a couple of comments where people did say, yeah, fantastic game, whatever. But after the Shelburne game, he was one of the main targets of abuse. Did you think it was quite excessive at the time?
You talk to any local lad that's played for Derry and the first thing they'll tell you, if you ask about Derry fans, is the abuse you get. You know, you seem to get it more. There's more of an expectation on you. It's more, you should know what it means to play for us. But it comes with the territory because, you know, the fans support you as well. When the fans are going well, they love you. But you're going to come under that scrutiny. I think for him personally, he needs a wee bit more time to be introduced in the first team. He needs to be dropped in and out. But because needs must, you know, we don't, for the first part of the season, we didn't have an hour centre half. He had to play. He had that game against Bowes where he was excellent. So that shows the type of character that Sam is, that he has that resilience. I think for what he is going to learn this year, being on the fire line, he's going to come on leaps and bounds. I think he just lacking a wee bit of guidance and alongside him as well. And I think that's something that he needs.
They look at it from a different angle. This time last year, he made a mistake against Bohemians. He came on for a brief cameo 2 matches later against Shelburne for 3 minutes, made another 1 minute cameo a couple of weeks later, and then we barely saw him again. Tiernan Lynch threw him straight into the starting lineup against Bohemians. Now, what does that say about Tiernan Lynch and what he sees in Sam Todd, despite all the criticism?
He's had him for the last 6 months, you know, at Larne. He knows a lot more about Sam Todd than probably most Derry fans, you know, because he's seen him that much. Sam done really well when he was at Larne, you know, he had excellent performances there. So it shows that he trusts him. If he didn't trust him, he could have found someone else to play in there. That he's given him that leeway to make mistakes. But there is a fine line between having that leeway for boys to make mistakes and, you know, concede goals to having to produce ones.
Stephen, as Mikael has said, he's not going to talk about referees' decisions this year. I'm going to pass this one to you first of all. Social media has also been flooded with posts of inadequate officiating. Do you think that the standard of refereeing has been a real issue, or is it just frustration from fans?
No, because for us, we had this conversation going up in the car from Dublin, and like, you know yourself, I was irate. I couldn't understand how something so obvious, and what happened that night down in Nancy Corr, I thought to myself, Steve Levy's going to defend them anyway. So I thought, I'm keeping my mouth shut. But then you see the Sligo fans, they're feeling totally unjustified. And then somebody says, but I always call it the me show. If you're talking about a referee more than you're talking about the football, then there's an issue, something along the line. There's times you just know he's going to blow the whistle before he blows, and you're going, oh dear, here we go. And that's maybe 30 seconds on the game. And he set a precedent sometimes so early in games where they feel the need, the consistency, instead of just breaking the mould, you know, go, oh, I made a mistake. They just keep going for the whole 90 minutes. They talk about consistency, but it's wrong consistency, in my opinion, where they just feel the need. And then you see the flash and the yellow card, one yellow card. Next thing you go, five or six yellow cards.
Here's one for you. Shea Memories posted this after the Galway game. I'm going to actually give a brief synopsis of it because it is quite a long post. But he talked about that referees have too much responsibility. With that being the case, that they're getting more and more contentious decisions made. He thinks that the League of Ireland should grow with the other leagues around the world and should introduce the use of VAR, and it should be taken seriously. Especially whenever you look at the decision made for Carl Winchester's red card against St. Patrick's Athletic. Mikel, do you feel that the league needs VAR to maintain credibility, or would its introduction create more problems than solutions?
It will create more problems because there's still someone making a decision. It's still going to a room where someone's going to make a decision. I don't like being too critical, but you know, the times you have to say it, you know, and the truth is that the refereeing standard in this country is nowhere near acceptable. Referees, and as you said, they try and make up for their mistakes during a game. By throwing out yellow cards, by giving stupid free kicks, by making wrong decisions. It's almost like they get flustered. But my point, I don't want to just be focused on the criticism. I want to focus on the solutions. The money that's been invested in this country for football, in terms of, you know, bringing top quality footballers here, top quality coaches, trying to do things right, we need to put some of that investment in the refereeing. We're talking about all these stats, but we're giving players. We need to give referees that help as well. Can't be just under the playing side of it. If you want to improve the game, you have to improve the refereeing. So if it is training courses, if it is analysts, you know, and I know they do some stuff, but they need to be doing full-time stuff as well. If they want to get better, if you want to improve this league drastically, you have to improve everything. And referees is one of the most important things for that because they control the games.
Coming up the motorway from Inchicore, Stephen, you were very much in favour of VAR. Was it a fleeting comment, or have you calmed down and decided that it's not a good idea?
No. Do you know what? I thought about it, Dee, and I've calmed down, and I thought, if it took 5 minutes to decide if it was going to be a goal or not on the field, could you imagine what it was going to take if it went up on their room with VAR? Maybe when it's perfected around the world and they can step in and do something with this super extra technology, which isn't going to come to the League of Ireland, God knows what we'll get, you know what I mean? There'll be two extra men standing at the posts or something that they get.
Pete Boyle, songwriter, podcaster, and Man United fan, on February 25th posted the following tweet. Any of my Irish followers know much about Derry City FC as a club? Are they a well-run community club? If you had to answer the question, how would you answer that?
Obviously, we've all seen what we've seen over the last week or two, you know, and I think it's probably important to address it. But, you know, what we've seen was, you know, from a very, very small minority of Derry fan or fans, it's disgusting. It doesn't represent Derry. Not just Derry City, but Derry people. You know, it's not something that's welcome. It's not something that we want. Derry is very much a community family club. You know, and you only have to look at the cup finals. You know, in recent years, it's streets going together, communities going together, organising buses to go around to Dublin. It's fantastic. I live beside neighbours. We give each other lifts to games. You know, to go over to the Brandy, well, it's our ritual, and every hour Friday night, you know, when we use, we'll pick us up to the match. You know, so it's a community club. It's a family club. Could they be doing more? Probably. Yeah, you know, going on to schools and stuff. We see them going on to schools, you know, around cup finals, but could they be doing that, you know, once a week? You know, then Derry City players now are celebrities. So we probably want this more engagement with them, especially the younger generation. 9 times out of 10, when you go to the Brandywell, you're going to have a good, positive experience.
Community club, you know what, definitely. I feel there's just elements there at the minute, which we've seen building, to be fair. It's no surprise, I think, to anybody that something like this has actually happened down in Sligo. And we'll just put that to one side. As you say, elements within the crowd needs to be stamped out. It should be easily stamped out, in my opinion. People keep taking their ways. You don't want to hear a parent online saying, I'm not taking my child to Brandywell because of fear. I think I seen that once this year, and I thought to myself, well, that ain't right either. Back to community club, you know, it's community run. We're trying to get back the grassroots. We're kind of local players. Do Derry have the young players coming through at the minute? to make it that bit more community. Exactly. I don't think we do. So we're have to reach out that wee bit further.
Next round of games sees us travel to Shamrock Rovers after the international break before consecutive home games against Cork City and Drogheda United. Easter away to Galway, then home to Sligo, which is now the Tuesday, not Easter Monday, and then away to Waterford to round April off. How many points do you predict that we will pick up in those run of games?
I don't know. You know, your five games, you know what, I think this next window, you know, is massive for him, because if this doesn't go well, you know, if you're less than 5 points, you know, from them games, then you're looking at summer transfer window that you have to strengthen. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is going to be sort of make or break for the season, this next run of games, because he's had adequate time now by the end of this year where he should have his best team, he should have a style of play, an identity and stuff like that. There, he's 5-6 months into the job by then. In terms of a prediction, I'm going to go, let's go for 10 points. Let's be optimistic. Let's be 10 from 15. You would take that.
I think we're being a wee bit maybe overly optimistic with the 10 points. I'm going to say 9. And the simple reason being, the way maybe Derry are going to try and set up, I'm going to say we're not going to see many draws. Can't see it getting anything at Rovers. I'm just going to be realistic about that. But it's a good time to play Rovers. The one thing, the one plus. I'm going to have to say we'll beat Sligo, Waterford and Galway. I'll stick my neck out in that one, maybe I'll go for 9 points.
We will be back with our coverage after the international break. Myself and Dermot Liddy will be in possession at Tallaght Stadium for Derry City versus Shamrock Rovers. Make sure you join us at Drive105MNL is our Twitter account. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can also find us on Blue Sky. You can find our YouTube channel at Drive105MNL. I'd like to thank both men for joining me. Thank you, Michael Kennedy. Thank you very much, Stephen McClelland. And I'll leave you now. My name is Dee Kern, and we will catch you next week at Tallaght Stadium. Talk of the Terraces is brought to you by Paul Martin Menswear. Discover the perfect outfit for any event in our exclusive range at Unit 5 Greenhall Road, Derry. Telephone number 0287135 8300.